As I say, over the last several weeks, we've been looking together through this series on images of Jesus. There are all sorts of pictures of Jesus in the Bible, illustrations to help us understand him better. And the image that we're looking at tonight is the image of the way. It's a bit dark, but there is a way going through there. This is a common illustration that is used in the New Testament. In fact, it was a really common name that was given to Christians in the decades after Jesus died and rose again. Christians in the early church were often referred to as followers of the way. Six times in the book of Acts, this is the name that was used of Christians. And it wasn't just a name that they used of themselves. This was actually how other people, even their enemies, referred to them. They spoke to them as followers of the way. So, for example, Saul, before he was a Christian, okay, he was very much against Christianity originally, but before he was a Christian, he was a persecutor of Christians. And in one place, we are told that he sent around letters demanding people tie up and capture anyone who was a follower of the way. And so this was a really common way that people talked about Christians. And the reason why people talked about Christians like this is almost certainly because Jesus himself, their leader, described himself as the way. Jesus said in that passage that we just read moments ago, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so let's think about what it is that Jesus is saying about himself in that place. What's Jesus saying? What Jesus is saying, firstly, is that he is the way to the Father. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way to the Father. Now, that, of course, is a way of saying that Jesus is the way to God. But I love the way that Jesus phrases it here. He says he's the way to the Father. He doesn't just say that he's the way to God, which he is, but he says he's the way to the Father. He uses this warm family-type language. Now, of course, if you know something about the teaching of God in the Bible, you will know that the Bible's teaching on God, and it's hard to understand, but the Bible's teaching on God is that there are three persons in the one God: Father, Son, and Spirit. And so no doubt Jesus here refers to God as Father because he is his Father. And yet I think there's more to it than that. I think there's more to it than that because in other places, Jesus amazingly encouraged his followers to pray to God as their Father. Okay, the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, Jesus says, "Pray our Father in heaven." God is not only the Father of Jesus, but Jesus actually encourages his followers to pray as if he is their Father. This is why you'll notice earlier in the passage for this evening in John 14 that Jesus speaks in this really homely language. Okay, Jesus earlier in the chapter tells his followers that when he dies, he's going to get his Father's home ready for them. He says, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms." Now, some translations have mansions, but most scholars do think that rooms actually is the correct idea here. The idea here is rooms. "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So the idea here is of Jesus living together with all of his fathers, followers in his father's home in heaven. That's the idea. It's this warm family type language. Now, I don't know what your family background is like, but certainly what we're referring to here is a warm family type of situation. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus brings us into relationship with his Father, a good Father. You know, when Jesus spoke of dying, he actually said, "I wish you guys would be happy for me," he said. John 14:28, just later on this chapter, "If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father." See, that's the kind of image that he has of this home that he's going to. I'm looking forward to going to the Father. This is going to be a day of real joy for me. And that's what Jesus invites us into. Jesus says that he is the way to the Father. He is the way into this warm family relationship with God. Friends, do you have that? Do you have a sense that you're in a warm relationship with God? Do you have a sense of genuine relationship with God? Do you have a sense that you're at peace with him and that, in fact, you're under his favour, that you're part of his family? Do you know that through trusting in Jesus, you can have that? Through trusting in Jesus, you can have that because in Jesus, our sin is paid for, so that there is nothing inhibiting a relationship with God. Jesus is the way into the presence of the Father. He's like the son of a king who grabs a kid off the streets and says, "Come to my home, meet my dad, become part of the family." Now, normally a kid off the streets has no hope of getting into the royal residence, but the son is able to say, "He's with me, come on in, meet my dad." And so you're welcomed in. That's what it is like in Jesus, if we have faith in Jesus. Jesus is the way to the Father. But also, secondly, Jesus is the way to life. Okay, look again at our verse for tonight. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Why does Jesus say that he's the way to the life? Well, the reason why he says this is because through Jesus, we are able to pass through death into life. Jesus brings life. Okay, listen to what he says to his followers in verse 19 of the chapter. He says, "Because I live, you will live also." It is the way to life. You see, the background to Jesus' words here, as I said earlier, is that Jesus has been telling his disciples that he's going to die. He says to his disciples back in chapter 13, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." He's telling them in a soft, caring way that he's about to die. Of course, they've got all sorts of questions about that, and so he tells them not to be troubled, but to trust in him. And then he tells them that this isn't going to be the end. No, he's going to prepare a place for them so that they will meet again and live with him and the Father. Okay, listen to what he says in verses 2 and 3. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." See, what Jesus is saying is that his followers are going to live with him and the Father beyond this existence. There is life in Jesus beyond the grave. There is a way through death. Jesus is saying. And he is the way. Jesus is the way to life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he bore the death that all of his followers deserved to die. Okay, we all still die physically. But at the cross, Jesus bore the pain of what is sometimes described as eternal death. At the cross, Jesus bore the infinite wrath of God, the infinite anger of God, the full judgment of God for our sins, for the sins of all who follow him. At the cross, Jesus bore the eternal pangs of death that we were meant to bear in hell. And so at the cross, Jesus makes a way for us to live. We can live beyond the grave because Jesus has died. Friends, do you know what it is to have peace in the face of death? Do you know what it is to have peace in the prospect of death? As a pastor, one of my roles is to deal with dying people. I've sat alongside many hospital beds as people face the prospect of death. And one of the things that I often ask is, are you at peace about dying? Do you have a sense of peace beyond this life? And on the one hand, some people that I've talked to are very unsure. They say things like, well, can anyone really know if they've done enough? I've heard that a few. Can anyone really know if they've done enough? Well, on the other hand, others that I've talked to have this enormous sense of peace. They are at peace because they are confident that Jesus has prepared a place for them in glory. And friends, what I would say to you is that you can have peace in the face of death. You can have peace in the face of death if you are trusting not in yourself and in what you have done, but only in Jesus and in what he has done. See, Jesus is the way to life. Your righteousness is not the way to life. Your goodness is not the way to life. You will never know that you've done enough. But there is a way to life. In Jesus. Jesus is the way to life. And so, following on from this, and finally, what you need to know is that if you want to find life, and if you want to go to the Father, then there is no other way. Okay, we've touched on this a little bit so far, but we do need to flesh it out here. Look at what Jesus says here in verse 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, just consider how plain this is. Jesus makes it really, really clear here that there are not many paths to God. There are not many roads to God of which Jesus is one. No, the verse is really, really plain. Jesus is really, really plain. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not one of many ways. Not one of many truths. Not one of many possibilities for finding life. The way, the truth, the life. And just in case we still haven't worked it out, we're told in the next sentence, no one comes to the Father except through me. See, there's no other way to the Father. There's no other way to find life except through trusting in Jesus. Now, friends, I know that that's a hard thing to say. I know it's a hard thing to hear today. I know that we're told today that you have to believe that all religions are equally true. But, you know, when you look at what Jesus said, if you actually take notice of what he says, you just can't believe that all religions are equally true. Just can't. It's just not possible. Because either Jesus is correct in saying that he's the only way to God, or he's incorrect in saying that he's the only way to God. In which case, you have to admit that you don't actually believe that all religions are true, do you? Because you've just said that Jesus is incorrect in saying that he's the only way to God. See, for anyone who actually knows what Jesus taught, or for that matter, for anyone who knows what Islam teaches or what the Jews teach, for anyone who knows what these religions actually say, it is impossible to believe that all are equally true because they make claims that just can't fit together between all of the religions. And so you have to come to a conclusion. What do you think about Jesus' words? Do you believe him or not? Is he the only way to God, or is he not the only way to God? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He claims to be the only way to God. Now, why does Jesus make that claim? Why say that he is the only way? Well, Jesus says that he is the only way because only Jesus has actually done what is needed to reconcile us to the Father and to give us life. Only Jesus has lived the life that we should have lived. Only Jesus has died the death that we should have died. Only Jesus is the blameless one who has stood in our place, paying the price for our sins. And so only Jesus is able to reconcile you to the Father and to give you life. Only Jesus has done those things. That's why he claims to be the only way. Jesus removes the barrier between us and God. He takes our sin upon himself. Jesus removes the reason for us to be judged. Again, he takes our sin upon himself. And so in Jesus, we find the way to the Father. And in Jesus, we find the way to life. Jesus claimed to be the way, and there is every reason to believe that he is exactly that. And so let us put our trust in him. I'm going to open it up and just give anybody a chance to answer any questions that they might have. Yep. That's a great question. It depends what you mean by can a Jew be saved. Can a person who came... You could only be saved if, as a Jew, you believe that Jesus is the Messiah that was pointed to in the Jewish scriptures. So the Jewish scriptures are good, but what has happened is the Jews didn't realise that their scriptures were there pointing them to Jesus. And so if a Jew doesn't actually understand that Jesus is the one who has come to save us, then they don't have a saviour, just as the Muslim doesn't have a saviour or anybody else doesn't have a Saviour. The point is we need Jesus as our Saviour. Yeah. Okay.